I've heard lots of folks say to me, priests say to me, that this is a gospel they really don't like to preach. I actually think it's one of the great, great moments in Luke's gospel. I believe that Luke is suggesting to us that at the heart and center of the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is this prediction. The thing that will set this world on fire, his death and his resurrection. And so what we have right at the beginning of that gospel today is Jesus Christ saying to us, I came to set this world on fire, but that this fire only comes through the great struggle of his passion and his death. And then he suggests a vitality in life. It will indeed cause us division. There will be misunderstanding, sacrifices made, struggles in trying to explain, and in living in the truth. And that's why Jeremiah got into such trouble. Jeremiah was a man of great fire. He spoke that message. He spoke it with authenticity, and he spoke it in the truth. And because of that, this great king, knowing that the Babylonians are about to conquer their land, the audacity of Jeremiah to say, we must surrender. The reason why he said to surrender is because the system was broken. The king was corrupt. The priests were themselves. He was hoping that somehow, by this struggle and defeat, they would come to know Yahweh. They would come to a point of repentance. And so what did they do? They threw him into the cistern because they did not want to hear that truth. Separation, distance. So my brothers and sisters, I just would love for us to think for a moment today. How do we take that word, that great call to kids arrive at St. Monica's? Great class. They're full of energy, they're young kids, they're excited about what they're doing. Their parents here, we had big mass. After it was over, we went over to the gymnasium, we had a little food and hamburgers and things. And then at 8 o'clock, I came back into this church. And some 90 kids in our high school. 90! Now our enrollment's about what, 580? 90 kids in our class, in that school, had been through what they called Hell Week. Heaven Week. Hell Week. They're football players. And our coach, Adam Guerra, wanted to begin the season, as I do every week with the mass with these kids, but in the beginning of the season, at the end of this great time, to just have a liturgy here so that we would bookend it here, and then, of course, at the end of the season, back in this church. He had every kid get up. Every kid. And they made a commitment. They made a commitment to themselves and they made a commitment to the team. And I thought to myself, where in the world would that take place? Certainly not on the West Side. He's on fire. He doesn't just say, whatever. He doesn't just say, well, you know, you're okay. Come when you want. He has a demand on those kids. And those kids follow him. They love him. Why? Because he loves them. Because they've caught his fire. His love. His love for them, his love for the game, and his love for the fact that they are together in this great body. Container. I want to get out and I want to touch people. I want to meet people. He says it's as crazy for me to do that as it is for me to stand behind a glass cage. So if I have two crazy things, I'll prefer to do this. That's what he said. So Peggy Noonan says, thinking about this man, she says the leadership of our world today can be described in this fashion. The cat looks up and says, I must be God. He said, leadership goes in as a dog and comes out as a cat. We need fire. We need to know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ calls us to a love of God, to an extraordinary grace and gift. What hope can we have for our present or future journey? And so, my brothers and sisters, today is a great day. Great day for St. Monica's and a great day for our community. And I couldn't imagine a better reading than that. A day in which we honor and salute in a very special way a great family in this community and our and Ed's departure. That these walls of St. Monica will always cry out in the music and in the language and in the love of that great man. And so I'm going to invite you to stay till the very end because we want to make a presentation. We want to honor him in a special way. Joanne, his wonderful wife, and his great, great children. The last 8 years to bring this great community to a better way of ministry. To develop a better place so that we can worship and pray together and minister together. And we're just about there. And so before the acclaim, and as we continue this Mass, I've asked Mike Mottola to come up. Mike is the parish administrator.
Good morning. Our construction project has been a long and arduous but wonderful journey, beginning actually in 2004 when we formed a master site planning committee to better match our facilities with the needs of our parish and schools and prepare us for the future. Well, the future has arrived, or nearly arrived, and we are truly blessed. And I like to, in the past, our old lot, we had almost 90 parking spaces, and virtually all of them were taken up by employees and staff of the parish and the schools. So now we will have 70 to 100 extra spaces for weekday masses, funerals, visitors to our schools and parish offices. We will also be able to schedule parish or archdiocesan activities and meetings on weekday mornings for a fee with guidelines and policies and procedures and waivers and deposits. Yes, of course, all of that. So we'll have information about using our facilities in September. And by the way, the revenue from this use will be helpful in meeting the operational costs, the new ones that we will have for new facilities. A third blessing, especially, will be for our music ministry staff and volunteers, and ultimately for all of us who enjoy and benefit from our great music ministry, and hopefully it will get even better, even though Ed is leaving, and for our liturgies and to have the resources they need in that space. And it's going to be a really great place. And I'm just sorry that, Ed, you won't be able to enjoy it after all these years, but maybe you can come back and be a guest rehearsal director from time to time. So our job isn't done. We'll have our buildings, we'll have our facilities, we'll have a number of furnishings inside, but we won't have everything. And a number of the things that we still need to raise money for are some of the aspects and the furnishings within those buildings, like in the chapel. We'd like to have some very nice wooden chairs, and we'd still need some audiovisual components. And so this is an opportunity for huge thanks to all those who have helped to make this project happen, especially to our donors and those of you who have made an extra sacrifice and a pledge. And this includes many of our employees, and to the many parishioners and school members who have helped in the planning and the fundraising. There's so many of you that have made this work, and I'm just so thankful. And to all of you for your patience and your understanding and support during the building project and having to maybe park a few blocks away from time to time. It was a monumental effort, and we are all, as I said, truly blessed, and we just need to thank our God. Thank you so much.
So we invite our great people of RCIA to come forward now, receive a blessing.